What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loot Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Resident Daryl, and today we have a very fun special episode. We're going to get to talk a lot about some really cool stuff that's going on. I did a vendor con, like a game convention, kind of trade event, So kind of bouncing off the heels of that, made some really great deals, some cool connections, and, you know, made some good trades. So pretty excited about it. Got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. So before we get too crazy, it is a solo episode for those of you guys who like that kind of thing. But I want to break us off with a toast. So I've already popped the top. Here we go. But this toast goes out to our Patreon producers. Thank you so much, MZ, JT, and Matt G. We appreciate you so much for your support. Thank you guys, each and every one of you who've been listening to the podcast each and every week. So yes, this toast goes out to you. All right, so here we go. This week is going to be a wild and crazy week. You're going to get two podcasts this week, for sure. This one's going to be a little on the shorter side because so much of what we're going to do later on in the week could go forever. But you're also, when this goes live, you'll also get a review for Apollyon 20XX. That is for the Godfoe universe, our good friends, Dan and Josh. They have their book. It is at the printers. I have a review copy of it, and I did a nice little review. Spoiler-free, so you guys don't have to worry about me spoiling all the deets, all the good stuff for you. Super excited to have it. Super excited for those guys. It is a... Well, I'm not going to tell you here. Got to make sure you listen to the book. So, all of that stuff coming up this week. So it's going to be a pretty cool jam-packed week. So, Patreon content, you've already got a special episode up on the Patreon. You're getting ready to get a couple more. So, ended up pushing some of the Attack on Titan stuff. That's coming out this week. You're going to have some Attack on Titan deep dive reviews. Going to have some other deep dive reviews. Diving into some cool stuff. So, it's a pretty good time. I like to think. But also, there's new stuff on the Resident Daryl YouTube channel. So I don't know if I've mentioned this a lot on the show. I'm a little all over the place, guys. I literally just walked in the door, jumped straight on the microphone, coming in hot. But we've been doing a lot of shorts on the Resident Daryl YouTube channel. So we got some new logos in. Super stoked about that. We've got we've been going crazy on Whatnot sales multiple times a week, having our shows multiple times a week. So definitely just dropped a really good video 5 days ago on the YouTube channel, but I don't feel like it's getting the love and the traction that the previous videos got because our shorts are kind of drowning it out. So if you guys are listening, go take a second, go check out that new video. It's called Trading My Death Pile for Grail Items. We picked up some excellent stuff for the collection. Two things in particular that I'm super excited to have. So very, very, very exciting stuff. So if you guys don't mind, go check it out. And if you like shorts, go check out our shorts channel, our shorts tab on the YouTube, because we're getting thousands and thousands of views on our shorts. They're doing really well. I wasn't expecting the shorts to do as good as they're doing. So we're still trying to figure it out, because it seems like when the shorts do well, the long form content does less. But my kids and I are having a good time either way. So we'd love to hear some feedback. So let us know, guys, if you've checked any of that stuff out, what you think. So as far as Loot Bro stuff goes, you know, we've got some collaborations coming up with old Tricky Mick from the Trophy Horse. So he and I are going to be doing some form of live reaction. If we can do it live, we will. The problem is we don't know what the timeline looks like. But you know, depending on when this Microsoft business update goes live, we'll do either live reactions to it, or we're going to do like shortly after, like hot mic recordings of it. So we're trying to figure out how to make it work because they haven't said the date. So I'm kind of annoyed because I'm like, man, I'm trying to make some plans around it, but they're not making it easy for me. So that being said, guys, go check it all out. We definitely appreciate any and all of the support. So I'm gonna jump right into things. We're gonna talk about what I've been playing. We're gonna kind of talk about some good random stuff, some good old random stuff, and then we're gonna kind of announce kind of some predictions for the Microsoft Xbox stuff. That's gonna kind of be our official topic this week. I got some thoughts, and who knows? I might even, and this episode might be longer than I think because I might actually come back and record some more depending on how things go. So, guys, this week on the For the Loot Bros, what I've been playing is WWE 2K22, just still playing it. Still playing it. I didn't really play anything else. I lied. I played one other game. But yes, 2K22, still playing it. Yeah, I got to be getting close to the 70, 80 hour mark now. Like, it's ridiculous. Definitely, definitely just eating up all my time. The more... I just keep playing it. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm really, really just into it right now. And I'm just cleaning up trophies. I finished up all the trophies on my GM. So last night, this will kind of give a little foreshadowing into one of the segments I want to talk about. Because we're going to talk about our pickups. We're going to talk about films, you know, the stuff that I've been watching. And then we're going to talk about, obviously, what we're playing. But what I've been playing was I've played the GM mode on 2K22. And I haven't really experimented with the GM mode in a long time. And I finally decided to experiment with the GM mode. And it was good. It was a lot of fun. Knocked it out. I did a 15-week season last night while watching two films. And had a good time. And so it was setting up my show, picking my people, you know, having my draft, all that stuff. Pretty good stuff. Pretty cool game. And then there was some trophies associated with it. And they're decent point trophies. I know you guys are going to get a... whether it be an audio version or the written version popping out for the annual trophy event, my trophies will come in kind of past the mark, but there are some decent value trophies as far as rarity goes. So I got some points, but it's just a ton of fun doing, you know, actually going through and playing and going through this. I'm having a good time. So I'm working on the women's championships right now. So I'm doing my best to, I created the wife, B-Wow, and I'm doing my best to knock her stuff out and make sure she gets all the gold. So that's what I'm working on right now, having a good time with it, and it's just kind of chipping away. So I think when I record next week, I'll be done with this game, at least as far as I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to jump into the 2K23. Like, I could jump on the PS5 version of this game. Or no, I'm playing PS5 version. I could do the PS4 version of this game. Which one am I doing, actually? That's a good question. Yeah, I'm doing the PS5 version. I could do the PS4 version, which I might, depending on how 23 is. I haven't played 23 yet. So if I don't like it, like I do 22, I'm going to go back and play it. So, but definitely having a good time knocking this one out. So next up, the only other game I've really been playing is Foam Stars. So this one right here, interesting little game. I can't say that I love it. I can't say that I even really like it. It is a game for sure. And it is not for me. It is a Gen Z freaking game. And what I mean by that is the dialogue, the lingo, the stuff that pops up on the screen, like, it is Fortnite plus Splatoon. I don't know if it's even really Fortnite, but they're going to try to make it Fortnite. I got a feeling. But, like, you have these cartoony-ish, anime-ish characters running around, shooting foam, squirting foam all over each other. blasting each other with their foam. And it's not a bad game necessarily. It plays well. Each character in there has a different set of abilities, a different class, if you will. And so, and if you're sliding around on the foam that gets squirted everywhere, you can move faster on your little surfboard than you can just running across it. So there's times where the game kind of felt a little bit slow, but it's really just that the foam builds up everywhere and you kind of have to navigate off of it. And as you're squirting your foam all over the map and all over the floor and all over everything, painting the walls, as they say, like it builds up and it creates a little bit of a terrain. And if you're smart, you can almost build a like a wall, like a defensive wall to stop people from squirting their foam all over you. Interesting concept. Played a few multiplayer matches, played a couple missions in the game, really just kind of in it for the trophies and the meme, you know what I'm saying? Like the fact that I keep saying it's better than Splatoon. I've never even played Splatoon, but like because it's on PlayStation, I'm going to tell people that it's better than Splatoon because that's kind of my shtick. It's kind of what I do. And we'll kind of see what happens. I'm not like, I don't love it, but I think that it's interesting enough. The thing that's kind of weird is like the word chill gets thrown on the screen a whole lot. It's like so chill. And like, the stuff that the characters say is so lame and it's just very Gen Z when it comes to writing, and it's almost like to the point of where it's annoying and cringy. And not that it's hard to do, but it's just the character dialogue and the things that are said in the game and done in the game. It's just weird. Like I don't know. It's interesting. So I'm gonna keep squirting foam. Gonna keep getting those trophies. And that's kind of pretty much it for me. Now, this week, I have a commitment to play a bunch of games. And next week, we are going out of town. We're traveling. So, I'm going to be bringing some consoles. I'm going to be bringing the Portal. And actually, we're going to the mountains. I'm not bringing the Portal. That would be foolish to bring the Portal because I will have no internet there. So definitely bring in the Vita and definitely bring in a PS3 with us because I like to do that. So we're definitely going to beat some games. Definitely going to get some trophies this weekend for sure. So next week's episode will be coming out late because we're going to do the pickup episode, myself and Tricky, for the Microsoft deal that's going on, this announcement. And then it'll be kind of like probably midweek next week before we get the next episode out, just because I'll be back in town because I'm going away for four days. And since we're doing a pickup in the middle of the week, I'm not going to try to do a third episode inside of a week. So it's going to be a little, schedule-wise, it's going to be a little bit weird. I like releasing later in the week when I'm doing the solo stuff anyways. Seems to just be better for my editing schedule, but you know, definitely just want to kind of keep you guys in the loop. So that's what I've been playing. Now let's jump over into what I've been watching. Like I said, this kind of ties into what I've been playing because, you know, with WWE 2K22, my characters in the story modes are so overpowered that I don't really kind of have to do anything. I just hit buttons and watch a movie and it's fun. There's just a ton of matches you have to grind out to get the trophies. And, you know, it's a fun game to play. Like, it's one of the best WWE games that have come out in years. So, I had just been playing through it and enjoying myself. My daughter and I have been kind of burning through horror films, like PG-13 horror films that are appropriate enough, or appropriate-ish, you know, for her to watch. And my other boys, and my boys as well. But my daughter and I, that's kind of our thing together. So we've been going through, and we watched White Noise. So shout out to Gareth for saying, you know, recommending that one. We picked it up with the intentions to watch it, but he doubled down and said, no, that's a good one. And it does star 1989's most precious Batman, Michael Keaton. So that was pretty cool. Good movie. Good movie. Definitely. It's more of a suspenseful movie, a little bit of a thriller than it is a horror movie. And it's all about EVP, electronic voice projections or something like that, where essentially back on the tube TVs and radios and all that stuff, where these spirits would contact the living through the static in the recordings. And essentially what you have to do is just leave stuff on and recording, and then spirits will talk to you, and you decipher it by going through the stuff. It was a decent little story. Dude's wife dies, and then he's like, you know, kind of going a little crazy trying to contact her. Things kind of get a little, you got to suspend your disbelief because like it kind of breaks its own rules a little bit with certain aspects of the movie. But super serviceable, super enjoyable film. You know, we've been logging our films on Letterboxd. I think we're at 17. Let me look. 17 movies so far this year. Let's see. Going to my 17 films so far this year. And, you know, we added two of them yesterday. So basically, we worked all week long, both jobs, the mortgage business and the video game, you know, business. And it was like, you know what? On Sunday after church, we are doing nothing. It was Super Bowl Sunday. Oh, you know what? One more toast. Shout out to Taylor Swift winning her first Super Bowl on her rookie year. What is up with that? So, super excited for her. We wish her the best with her future endeavors, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. So, we definitely, we're just going to take it easy yesterday. We didn't have our evening service at church yesterday due to the Super Bowl parties and all that stuff everybody had going on. So, the kids and I were like, you know what? Actually, my son went and hung out with his buddies and watched the Super Bowl at their house. My daughter wanted to watch... you know, horror movies, and we'll kind of catch in on the Super Bowl highlights and stuff. And so that was the idea. No work in either job, just enjoying family time. The wife actually had to work yesterday. I worked all day Saturday at a convention, which I'll talk about that in a little bit. And then, so we started watching horror movies. So we watched White Noise, and it was a good time. But the idea was we're just going to sit back, going to watch some movies, play some Portal, and that's going to be our day. So we watched it, we enjoyed it, and then we decided we're going to follow it up with another one. And I'm like, well, what are we going to watch that's going to be like in the realm and it kind of adjacent to White Noise, but not necessarily like, you know, it's got to fit that mold. We're looking for these like PG-13 movies that are like scary and fun and but yet not too vulgar, not too saucy. You know, just trying to make sure it's things that my kids can watch with me. And so we decided we would watch The Sixth Sense. And I haven't watched this movie in many, 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 many years. And so we put in The Sixth Sense. We watched, actually, I grilled some steaks. We watched it. You know, the wife came home. She watched it with us. And watching my daughter just go through and experience this movie for the first time was so awesome, because it's got a couple little, like, gruesome-ish parts, you know. But for the most part, it's very much like a movie that, like, once you've experienced it once, you can't put that genie back in the bottle. Like, it's, you know, you kind of see the magic is gone, you know, and it's like, but we had such a good time. And when it got to the spot where everything is kind of revealed, she was like, no, no way, no, I can't believe that. And it was the perfect reaction, exactly what I wanted to see, exactly what I wanted to, you know, her reaction to be. And it was awesome. So we had a really good time with that. So we added that to the list. And this year's goal has been to just not, we don't have a set number, but like, we just want to watch more movies, more films together, experience a lot of these classics together, and then, you know, play games alongside it. The Portal makes everything so much better. Like, playing video games, having a Portal, it's so easy and it's so accessible and it's butter smooth. The screen is so freaking big. It's just like you don't feel like you're diminishing the quality of your experience, because it's really perfect. Thank you, Jimmy Ryan, for all that you have done for us. Absolutely stellar job with the Portal and its accessibility, so that I can watch really great films and not miss out on quality. So there you go, guys. So I mentioned before yesterday that we did, the day before yesterday, Saturday, we had a video game convention. It was a little mini convention. It was actually advertised as a video game kind of trade event. And, you know, it was me and 12 other vendors. I think it was supposed to be 14, but two of them got sick. But it was, you know, 12 of us essentially setting up tables in a vendor mall. And we were, you know, selling our video games, we're trading video games, we were buying video game collections. And man, we had a really, really decent day. So I'm going to just kind of start it off with how the day worked out. So typically when I do these solo segments, I like to talk to you guys about the pickups and stuff we get for the reselling business and for the collection. And that's kind of what we're going to do with this, but it was at a con. So on the way to the con, we stopped at the flea market. So my youngest was like, "Dad, we got to stop at the flea market. We got to see if we can get something last minute for the con." So we're like, "Sure." So we go to the flea market and we find one of our vendor buddies that like had a PlayStation 1 and an Xbox 360. Now this Xbox 360 was the white Xbox 360 with the white Kinect. Now we're talking about the slim 360, not the old, you know, Red Ring of Death 360. So that right there was cool because I've only seen one of those before, but I think I've only seen one white Kinect before as well. Now we've seen the, you know, the R2-D2 Kinect and all that stuff. You know, we've seen that. But we hadn't seen this particular, you know, 360 in the wild in a long time. And he said, "Hey, these things right here are selling for $100 online." He wanted $30 for it. I'm like, "You know what? $30 is fair. That's a fair price. I'd try to get $75-ish for it." You know, 360s just don't sell well. And right now, everything is so uncertain about the Xbox market. I'm like, they might be even worse right now. But I think it's going to get better. No matter what decision Xbox makes in the coming week, the reselling market on Xbox stuff, I think, is going to get better. Because I think that there's going to be... I'll save it for a little bit later, but I think the decisions they're going to make are going to affect the interest on buying their physical stuff because of the uncertain future. So I'm super excited to see where that goes. So I picked up the Xbox and I was like, "You know what? I'll set it on my table. We'll market it as an untested console. I might be able to double my money. And if we have power, I'll test it right there. And then we think we should be good." I also picked up a PlayStation 1, and I already had a PlayStation 1 with me, so I would have had two PS1s on the table, and I was like, "Man, this is going to be good. This will be a nice little addition to everything." So we get there, on the way to the con, we pick up a stack of games and a CD wallet at the next vendor. The CD wallet is filled with Wii U games. Nothing crazy, you know, $10, $15, $20 hits, you know, nothing like outstanding. But just stuff that, hey, loose and cool titles. So not bad for a $65 or $70-ish little spend on route to the con. So we added some fresh inventory. We already had multiple crates of inventory with us. So we go there, and as soon as we get there, there's already people in the building. We're not even set up yet, and there's people in the building. They're ready to go. One gentleman brings... two containers of video games to me. I'm estimating about 100 to 110 video games to my table, right? And he's like, "I want to see what I can get for these, you know, trade in or you know, dollar amount." Long story short, after some negotiations and just kind of looking through it, and guys, all this stuff is going to be on my YouTube channel, so Resident Derelict YouTube. Some of this stuff I've already got shorts for. I'm going to continue to pump out shorts throughout the week as I go through the containers. But guys, oh my gosh, so many great PS4 games, great PS3 games, a whole box of Wii games, which that's kind of whatever. But it was just cool. And there was some good stuff in there. And one of the things was a Game Boy Color Pokemon edition, but it was like a reshell, but it was like pristine condition. It was so awesome. So we agree on a price. I buy this collection of games off of this guy, and then I just set it under the table because I'm like, "I got to go through this." Next guy comes up to me, wants one of my PS Vitas. I brought two Vitas with me. I have 14 Vitas, well, 12 now, because both of them, I knew that I'd be the only guy at the con with Vita. I had stacks of Vita games. Now, I wasn't the only guy there with Vita games, specifically Japanese imports. There were hundreds there. I couldn't believe how there were people out there local to me that have more Japanese Vita games than I do. But sure enough, they were there. And so we were selling some Japanese Vita stuff, but I was the only person in town there with the actual consoles. So we had multiple interested parties on there, and one gentleman brings me a stack of Wii and brings me a stack of GameCube stuff. Some of the stuff we're still negotiating on since the con. But I got like Zelda Wind Waker. I got a sealed copy of Wind Waker on Wii, on the Wii U rather. I got steelbooks for Pokemon Violet and Scarlet. I got steelbooks for Xenosaga or Xeno whatever. I just so much stuff, like things that I'm just like multiple Zeldas and everything. So he just stacked it up, and I said, basically what I would do is like I would give you 50% of price charting on each of these games, and then when we got to a point where we agreed on stuff, I was like, here, I'll throw in a couple of games just to make it sweet for you. He got a pristine PlayStation Vita, and I got some what we call heaters, some really hot titles, some really quick movers. So this is the point. This is really the point of me telling you guys all this stuff, because this is where it gets good. So one of the games I got for my collection was Lollipop Chainsaw. So super excited to have that. I'm super excited to have that back in the collection. I sold my copy last year for like $75. Kind of had a run of bad deals fall apart in the actual main business. And I had, you know what? I've got all these super expensive games. Anything $50, $75, $100 hits, I'm just going to list them and sell them. There's no reason to sit on all this money whenever I don't have consistent money coming in. So, and just a little behind the curtain on the mortgage business, went through a lull last year, and there was a certain run of about 3 months where myself and my people that I know that work in the industry, we all were like dry, like around the August area, like we just were not closing deals. I closed in a couple months. I closed several deals before that, and then in August, September, and October were just like bone dry. And then October, November, December, I closed deals. So it was a rough time, rough 3 months of no real income. And that's not the first lull I've hit since, because last year the rates were just all over the place, changing every hour. They were getting outrageous, a 23-year high in the industry. Like, we just experienced all kinds of stuff last year. So the mortgage business was super volatile, and people that were primed and ready to buy were priced out of the market. So you say, why does that matter? I'm here for video games. What does that even matter? So I had a 3 month gap of income, and I was very casually reselling on eBay and whatnot. Just very casually, just like, I buy collections, I pull out what I want, I resell the rest so I can continue to buy collections. And then every now and again, I'll make enough money to just throw some in the bank account to offset, maybe a bad month. Okay. So this particular run was like, well, we're living off savings kind of thing, or we're living off my wife's income, because my wife does really well. So I'm like, man, this is kind of rough. Maybe I shouldn't just sit on these games. Why would I sit here with games worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars and they're just on the shelf, Like, I could, my mentality with reselling and collecting is that I collect stuff. I think it's awesome. I get excited. I make YouTube videos about it. I make posts about it on Facebook. And then it goes on a shelf and it's like, it's cool. It's there. Especially if I've already beat it or if I've already platinumed it. So my mentality is, well, if it's worth $50 or more, let me just sell it, get a little bit of money in, and then I'll hunt it down again. And maybe next time I'll get an even better deal. So that's kind of the fun for me. So very similar to our old co-host, Will, a lot of catch and release, as he calls it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to catch and release. I'm going to go through and I'm going to, just kind of play around, see what happens, and, we'll go from there. So I sold a bunch of really high dollar games, and this gave me the opportunity to pick one of those back up for next to nothing. And next to nothing in the sense that the value I got from the other games was worth it. So I grabbed this game back for the collection. Super excited to have it. So outside of that, everything else I got was meant to move on to the next, move on to the next deal. So I had a gentleman come up to the table with a PS5 in the box. It's the God of War Ragnarok disc version. Now, I know the guy. He said he tested it, factory resold it. He actually used to run a game store for a while. So I trust this dude. I've done countless deals with him. You know, we're on like texting. We're friends. I said texting basis. That sounds lame, but we're friends. We don't hang out all the time, but we're friends. We're friendly, hook each other up with deals. I mean, when he had baby showers and stuff like that, we come out to that stuff. So like, we're close enough to where this dude could bring something to my table and I can trust fully that not only is it in good working condition, but if it's not, we'll be able to work something else out on the back end, you know, to make it fair. So he brought it over to me and he ended up, you know, negotiating these games that I got in some of these previous deals. Okay. So that's kind of where the story's going is I ended up trading essentially almost everything that I got in this other deal with the Zeldas and the Metroids and all that, with the exception of one Zelda game and Lollipop Chainsaw. I kept that. And I threw in the PlayStation 1, the Backbone 1, the PlayStation Backbone, which because I think is dope. And I was able to keep a couple of the games that I got. And then he was able to work out some good stuff for him. So value-wise, I actually offered him more value than he was asking for the PlayStation, which we recorded all this. And this will be coming out on the Resident Daryl YouTube channel. But then I was able to go home and surprise my oldest with this PlayStation 5. So he's got the digital version of the PS5. But if you guys have been listening to the show for any amount of time, the fan went out. We had to have it replaced. The HDMI port went out. We had to get that resoldered, you know, on, have it replaced. And then now he's having some issues with his internet, his Ethernet. And so basically, what I have come up with is that the thing kept overheating and the components and stuff near where it was overheating. I think it got hot enough to kind of maybe desolder them, or maybe it's just hot enough to damage them. The guy that fixed our, you know, Mr. PC, he fixed our console before. He goes, "Well, no, it's got to be way hotter than that to desolder it." But I'm thinking 2021-ish manufacturing during COVID. I don't know, man. I think that things were so poorly thrown together and the market was so wild that I think that a lot of stuff is breaking and a lot of stuff is, I think it's just not good. I think that that's kind of where we're at. So I think this could have happened. But hey, you know what? He seemed to think differently. He's the expert, not me. So we just kind of went with it, got it repaired and all that stuff. So he's having some issues, and I'm like, that's fine. One day I'll get you a PS5 disc version. So that's what I did. I made all these trades. I got my son a PS5 disc version, and I'm going to, you know, possibly trade off his, you know, console, and maybe like, hey, here's a PS5 Slim digital. Here's the work that's been done to it. Similar to how you would do a car or a home or something. It's like, hey, these are things I've repaired on it, blah, blah, blah. Kind of see what we get for it. Or I might just keep it and let my daughter use it occasionally, and then all three kids have their own PS5s. I don't 100% know what I'm going to do yet. But what I do know is that we made some great trade deals. We made some great relationships. And we got to meet a lot of cool people. So that right there was the con. Now, it was 8 hours of being on my feet, which is fine, whatever. But it was kind of like, you know, for the amount of money we walked away with, if you take what we sold, the trades were really what was the bread and butter of the day. Okay. But if you take away what we sold, all right, minus what we bought, we didn't really do well financially. But what we did do was the amount of inventory that we have left, or excuse me, that we accumulated, and that's not even processed yet, was worth the, you know, our time and worth our experience. So not to mention my little guy was there with me the whole time. We had a blast. We went live on Whatnot twice at the table. And it was a chaotic but yet interesting time. And we made some friends, and we'll do that again. So, and I think we'll scale up. I think that we're going to try. I've actually applied. Actually, I was sent the link by a vendor. Check this out, guys. I was sent the link by a vendor to apply for the Southeast Game Exchange for next year, the biggest gaming convention in the Southeast. I was sent the link by a vendor to apply to be an influencer there. I thought that was pretty interesting. I applied. I sent over our credentials and stuff. Our platform is not near big enough, whether it be the podcast or the YouTube combined, they're not big enough. But I thought it was pretty interesting that people in the space are thinking of us, me and the kids. They're like, you know what? Hey, we would love for you guys to come over here and, you know, at least try it. So the fact that there's vendors out there are like, hey, you guys would be a good fit for this. That was pretty cool. So we'll see. We'll see kind of where things end up. I would love to say, hey, that's going to happen. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. But, you know, very, very cool stuff, guys. So I know I'm kind of rambling. I feel kind of spaced out. I feel like I'm just, I don't know that this is going to be the best podcast you've ever heard, but it's just a lot. My head was going in 1,000 different ways before I got here, and I've been on the go. And we actually had our biggest day, our biggest weekend volume-wise, as far as shipping goes, than we have yet. So it wasn't the highest dollar amount, but as far as like actual volume of packages turned into the post office today, it was the biggest we've ever had. So very, very cool. That was pretty neat. So, and a lot of that was, you know, we went live Friday, we went live twice on Saturday, so technically three shows, the equivalency of one long show as far as time goes. But but yeah, we had a ton of packages, so super, super cool. So our Whatnot platform is growing, and our YouTube platform is growing. So it's been pretty cool. So all that being said, guys, let's get into the topic at hand. So what I'm going to do is, this is going to be this week's official topic. Now, I think I might come back later and cut in. We'll see. We'll see kind of where I end with my thoughts on all this. Because like I told you, we got a whole nother episode coming this week as soon as the announcements are made. But I want to throw my predictions out there. Now, I don't have the panel here for us to do necessarily the punishment episodes anymore. So there's no really good way of doing that like we were doing it. So this is pretty much just going to be me shooting in the dark, and we'll kind of see what happens. But I did want to throw it out there that these are my predictions for this Xbox business update. All right, you guys ready? So here we go. As far as to this point, as of recording on February 12th, we still don't have a date for the Xbox business update. What we do know is that Xbox has made the decision to go third party in some capacity with their video games. So we don't know if that's going to be like a, hey, we're going to go, you know, third party in the sense that we're going to strictly be a third party. We don't know if it's just going to be all these rumored titles that are coming, that we keep hearing are going to go to PlayStation, are just coming over. I've listened to hours and hours of speculation on everything, and here's what I think is going to happen, and here's what I'm going to break it in kind of two schools of thought. Here's kind of what I would love to happen, okay? I'm going to start off with what I would love to happen, okay? I would love for this deal to be, hey guys, after buying up all these studios and realizing that we are not going to hit the subscription numbers that we projected, what we're going to do is we're going to make Game Pass the subscription service we promised, okay? And we're going to sell our video games on other platforms, okay? So in Daryl's perfect world, now guys, this is what I want to happen, and then I'll get into what I think is going to happen, okay? In a perfect world, here's what we're going to do. Phil Spencer is going to get out there and he's going to say, hey, everything that we promised before is going to keep happening. These games are coming day and date to Game Pass. And if you want to get them for $15 or $20 a month, here you go. Get an Xbox, get a Samsung TV, get Game Pass, get a PC, and that's where they're at. All right. From there, all of our Bethesda, you know, third-party-ish stuff, you know, anything that's not in that Xbox first-party specific, right? the Xbox Studios umbrella. Any of that stuff is going to go day and date on every platform. So your next Doom's going to PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch, PC, day and date. Okay? Indiana Jones, Blade, you know, the next Evil Within, all that stuff. Business as usual, day and date. No more of these, is it exclusive, is it not exclusive? No more of that bull crap, okay? Then from there, we're going to look at our, and of course, Activision, Call of Duty, things of that nature, okay? So all that stuff is going to be, you know, business as usual. From there, we're going to take our legacy titles. We're going to put our legacy titles on PlayStation and Nintendo Switch. So what does that mean by legacy titles? We're going to talk about the Master Chief Collection. We're talking about Gears of War. We're talking about freaking Brute Force. We're talking about, we're going to work with Capcom. We're going to release Dino Crisis 3. We're going to go all legacy titles, and they're going to trickle out over time. They're not all just going to be one big dump, and we're not getting a bespoke or a stripped down version of Game Pass. We're just going to get legacy stuff trickle over to PlayStation with trophies. Okay. Now, what does that mean for the Xbox first party? Well, first party, and again, this is Daryl's perfect world. This is what I would love to happen for the Xbox first party. We're going to have 1 year exclusivity on our Game Pass subscription. After a year, we're going to start trickling them over and we'll start selling these titles a la carte, full price on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation. Now, what is my logic behind all that? All right, guys, it makes perfect sense to me if you're going to put all your eggs in the subscription basket that you build yourself a backdoor to where you can still sell these games, okay? We know the PlayStation diehards are going to stay there and they're going to buy their games. So what can we do? We can just sell them their games, you know? Why wouldn't we do that? Why would we not do that? So I think that is the way to go personally, okay? So next up, you know, when it comes to future titles, all right, when it comes to future stuff, I think that we're going to get fast and loose with it. I think that, you know, Xbox is going to continue to try to license stuff to get it on Game Pass, but I think that you're not going to be getting the big boys as much. You know, I think it's going to be, let's really focus on the quality of our first party over here, get them on there for a year and then sell them. Okay. Get them on there for a year and then sell them. And then anything third parties, day and date everywhere. So that way the Call of Duties and your Starfields and all that stuff gets sold. I think in the immediate future, we're going to get things like Gears of War. We're going to get things like Starfield. We're going to get things like Halo Infinite, Halo Master Chief Collection. I think all that stuff in the immediate is coming over. I think that Sea of Thieves is a definite coming over. I think that we're going to get a list, a litany of stuff. I think we're going to get Hi-Fi Rush. You know, I think we're going to get Pentiment and possibly even Grounded. I mean, I think we're going to get some really, really good stuff. I think we're going to get, what's that Insomniac game? Oh, we're going to get that Quantum Break. We're going to get that over from, I think we're getting that. I think we're getting Sunset Overdrive. A lot of really good stuff dumped over. Now let's get into what I think is actually going to happen. I think what's actually going to happen is that we're going to get a third of these games over on PlayStation. I think it's going to be your Bethesda titles, your Activision titles. I think it's going to be business as usual. I think they're going to double down and say, yeah, we're going to keep making Xbox consoles. Yeah, we're going to keep doing this. You know, as we promised before, Game Pass is going to be bigger and better than ever. And I think what's really going to happen is as the numbers make sense, they're going to trickle in. They're going to sneak them in. I think they're going to, it's going to sound one way, like it's going to build up the base, like, oh my gosh, you guys, no worries here. We're solid as ever on Xbox. But when they see how much they're going to sell of each title, they're going to be like, oh, you know what? Let's slide another one over. Rather than get like a streamlined trickle of games coming in, I think it's going to be, well, here's two or three, you know, third-party games. I mean, we already know from the ABK lawsuits and all of the leaked documents that came out of that, that Pete Hines was not happy with the Bethesda was not happy with the fact that they couldn't put their games everywhere. They had to be exclusive. But then ABK can come in and Call of Duty can go everywhere. I mean, that is written, documented stuff. Pete Hines is no longer there. He left. That's pretty interesting, don't you think? How Pete Hines, one of the biggest figureheads in Bethesda, I mean, only second to Todd Howard, and he's gone. He left. This was supposed to be good for Bethesda. I don't know if you guys remember, but they said that this is going to be good. Working with Xbox, they couldn't have a better partner. But the emails internally suggested something different. So I think what's going to happen is Bethesda games are going to come over. ABK's games are going to come over. The occasional, you know, game like a legacy title, like a Sea of Thieves or something might come over. And it might trickle around. And I think once they see the money, then we'll get a more steady stream of this stuff. Because I think that's realistically the only way to sustain their platform is to find a place to sell these particular games. But I also think this, okay? There's a lot of rumors swirling around that this is not a Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond deal, that this is a Microsoft deal. That if you think about it, guys, from 2017 to now, Microsoft has spent almost $100 billion on studios, okay? They spent, what, $2.5, $3 billion on Minecraft? What was that, 2015-ish? 2015-16? Then in 2017, they bought seven more studios. I don't know what the total dollar amount is, but even if they spend $100 million or $200 million a piece, that adds up. And then they turn around and spent $7.8 billion on Bethesda. So between, you know, Minecraft and Bethesda, we're going to call that, what, 10, 11 billion? Let's say they spent another $1 billion on the miscellaneous studios all over. I mean, Obsidian and those places, surely those warranted a pretty penny. We'll call it 12 billion, you know, for all those together. And then they turn around and they bought ABK, which took 2 years, all right? But that's $80 billion that we know about, that we think we know. I mean, it might even be more. It's $80 billion. That's a lot of money to just be like, yep, we're throwing this out the door. We're buying, we're buying, we're buying. And they said they're not done. So surely that gets the eye of Sauron on you. That gets the eye of Microsoft on you. So a lot of the speculation between a lot of different internet personalities, leakers, you know, a lot of different leakers are all saying that, hey, like, depending on how this business event is let out, if this was a Microsoft decision, then it looks like Phil Spencer and his team might be out the door. Now, this is, if it's Phil Spencer and his team reporting this, then we're going to see maybe just a change of direction in the marketing and the verbiage and what they're selling you. My fear is that they've gotten on in front of, this is what I told the podcast crew in our little messenger. I said, my fear is that they've gotten, you know, they're on the board now. They're in the limelight. They've spent enough money to where it's like, wait a second, we used to let Xbox just kind of play in the corner and do their own thing. They were at the bottom of the ledger on the financials, but hey, wait a second. We need to pay attention to what's going on over there because they're spending a lot of money. Now they got to make money. As a matter of fact, I was listening to one podcast and they were reading out some of the numbers that said it's going to take 35 years to make their money back for the ABK deal. 35 years. That's insane. That's insane. So I think we're about to see a very aggressive Microsoft and maybe a much more defeated Xbox. All right, everybody, I am cutting back in on the show. We've gotten some news updates since I last started this recording. So I've got two articles here brought up by purexbox.com, and I just kind of want to give a little bit of a kind of where we started, where we're at before this business event. And we do have the date and time now. So here we go. A couple days ago on Pure Xbox, you know, they had reported on some tweets that Phil Spencer posted in regards to Xbox exclusives going to PS5. It says, we're listening. We hear you. We've been planning a business update for next week. where we look forward to sharing more details with you about our vision for the future of Xbox. Stay tuned. So that's kind of what kind of got this whole ball rolling, right? So we knew they were planning a business event, and this was kind of Phil Spencer's ahead of time. And, you know, kind of maybe he's trying to soften the blow. Maybe he's trying to get you ready. He's like, hey, guys, don't you worry. The fact that Phil Spencer is going to be doing this, you know, event is a big deal, you know, because a lot of speculation is that if he's not the one that does it, maybe he's out the door. And I don't want Phil to go. Personally, I like Phil. We're friends, actually. So here we go. On Pure Xbox, they posted the update, and it says head of Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond, excuse me, head of Xbox or Microsoft Game, whatever they call it, Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond, and Matt Booty will appear on a special episode of the official Xbox podcast, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, February 15th. So, started this recording on the 12th, hoping that we would have news about the date and time, so we kind of recorded late and to send it out late to be kind of around this, because this is a big deal. Like, this isn't a news podcast, but this is kind of like the last time we had something like this happen was Nintendo and Sega. So as a when I grew up in that era, those two were warring it out and fighting, and I was there when Sega lost, and I was there when Sonic went to Nintendo, you know, when a Sonic was character was put in a Nintendo game. I was there when all that happened. So that was just mind-blowing. That was huge. It was revolutionary. It was wild. So now here we are. I've been watching Xbox and Nintendo and PlayStation war it out for over 20 years. So we're at that point again where it's like someone looks like they're getting ready to bend the knee. And, you know, my speculation is that Xbox is going to start busting their games out on PlayStation. I think it's going to be good for them. I really do. I mean, they're going to get some of my money, and I'm excited. I want to play Gears of War on PlayStation. I keep saying that. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. And so, in full transparency, I own a Series S now. I recently picked one up. It's a good little console. I own it currently in the house right now are four Xbox 360s. We have two Xbox Ones, and we have the Series S. So we got a lot of Xbox in this house right now. Now, some of those are, you know, inventory for the side business. But also sitting here right beside me is the Xbox Backbone, you know, or the Xbox themed, you know, Backbone. So I'm not an Xbox hater. I just really aligned with the PlayStation platform over the past two generations based on lack of exclusives that interest me. I didn't love their business model. And I think that their UI and controller they're just not my favorite. I enjoy the PlayStation ecosystem, everything about it. So that being said, I still want to play these games. And I've recently cracked open the Xbox. Oh, you know what? Did I say four Xbox 360s? We may have five. They only have five in the house. Yeah, either way, four or five, doesn't matter. But I want to play these games. I don't want to play them on the platform I'm already playing on. That would be ideal. So being that they are in position three, and it's been such a rough road for them recently. So I'm just ready to see where this goes. Now, most likely, like I said before, it's probably not going to go anywhere, really. You know, but I think something is happening. They're not dispelling all the rumors. You see, typically in the past, when these rumors get out of hand, they get crazy and the internet's blowing up. Aaron Greenberg or Matt Booty or Phil Spencer will get out there and address the rumors. This time, they're not saying no. They're not. They're like, hey, we're going to do a business update. We've never had that before. So this is happening, ladies and gentlemen. This is happening. We are getting Xbox games on PlayStation. To what degree, we'll find out February 15th at 3 p.m. So I know Tricky and I said we were going to try to do some form of live reaction. 3 p.m. is the worst time because I'm going to be in car line picking my children up from school, and we're getting ready to go on vacation. So what's going to happen is I'm going to try my best to bust out a podcast with Tricky as soon as this is over. If we can't line up the schedules, because I'm going to the mountains for 4 days, I'm not going to have any internet at, like, this thing is literally going to happen. And then as the smoke is clearing and the fallout is all in live time, I'm going to be driving into the mountains with little to, I know when I say little, I mean like next to no internet. We're not staying at the top of a mountain in some crazy cabin this time. The place that we're staying might actually have some form of internet, but for, essentially for 4 days, we're going to be off the grid. And it's like, oh, this is going to happen and all this stuff is going to come out. You know what? You know, you guys know. You know, every time Xbox has a deal, they have a conversation, they have an announcement. Anytime Xbox does anything, like for days after, it's almost like damage control. It's like, what we meant was, what we were going to say. You know, last time Phil Spencer said that, you know, Starfield will be wherever Game Pass exists. I mean, we'll find out if that's legit. Is he going to have to walk back some statements? Also, you guys remember they did the, this is 2 years ago, 2 years ago, E3, 3 years ago, E3, but they said, here's what the next 12 months of Xbox looks like. And we're going to drop a big title once a month. You got three, and they had that whole graphic out there. You got three games the following year from out of that list. Some of those games still haven't released. So it's interesting. It's hard to get excited. This is another reason why I've leaned so hard Sony, is because when Xbox says something, you don't know if it's really going to happen or not. You don't know if you're really getting what they're selling. You know, and that's the double-edged sword with Phil Spencer. Is he so likable and he's so genuine? He feels like he's one of us. He's a gamer. But then it's like, yeah, well, here's what's gonna happen with Xbox, and then it doesn't happen. So it's like, I don't even know that. Like, me watching it, I can believe anything's gonna happen. So we'll see. We will see. That's all we got, guys. We will see. We'll see what happens on February the 15th, 3 p.m. I will bust out a podcast shortly after, as soon as I possibly can. And we'll go with it. Maybe by 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, you might have something from us. We'll see. We'll see what happens, guys. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you guys so much for all the support. We appreciate you, patrons. Go check out that extra Patreon content. Go check out Resident Daryl on YouTube. Dropping shorts. I actually dropped another short since I started this recording. And I don't know that I like doing shorts. Let me just put that out there. I don't know that I like doing shorts, but shorts get views, and it's easy content. It's so much easier than editing a 20, 30-minute video, you know, where I got to spend triple the amount of time editing it. Shorts are easy. They're quicker. So that being said, guys, thank you so much for all your support. Thank you for everything you do. Please go check out Resident Daryl. We're almost at 1,000 subscribers. Go give us some love. And we just picked up at this game convention, got 20-something, 20-plus, 30-ish copies of Kinect Adventure. Like, it's ridiculous. So thank you to everyone who donated. Thank you, guys. Last night, actually, as I was going through all the inventory and things that we bought at the show, I bought way more than I remembered buying, and I pulled way more gems out than I remembered getting. But as I was pulling everything out, this is a giant IKEA bag filled with Kinect Adventures, and I'm like, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. So, but super excited for this Xbox conference business update. Never even had a business update before, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully, it's good news. Hopefully this is going to be something great, guys, and we're all going to enjoy it. Hopefully it's not anything dire and bad, but, you know, we'll see. So catch you guys in a couple days. Anime's for pervs.